Hello, and welcome to the Thursday, January 21st edition of Juno Afternoon from your very own KTOO. We've got a great show. Troy Quinn is here to talk about the Juno Symphony. He's the conductor. We'll get a preview of Friday night's LunaFest Film Festival. We'll spotlight the AARP Tax Assistance Program, and as always, end the show with Nancy DeCherney with Arts Up. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Canada's Minister of Indigenous Affairs has been holding preliminary meetings across the country. They're taking place ahead of a national investigation on missing and murdered Native women and girls. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, one of the minister's first stops included a meeting with families in Vancouver.
The minister, Carolyn Bennett, took part in a sharing circle prior to meeting with families of missing and murdered women in the Yukon. She then moved on to British Columbia. She's been hearing from those most affected about how the national inquiry should be shaped. Connie Grayeyes lost several friends and family members to violence.
Finally, our women are having a voice. After so many years of wanting and praying and wishing and hoping for this to happen, for it to start coming into fruition this way is... it's incredible.
The minister is hearing much the same story as she takes in more and more of these hearings, the need to get at the root cause of the problem so as to prevent future tragedies. In December, the Canadian government announced the inquiry. It also launched an online survey, phone line, and website, and the cross-country meetings now underway to gather input into what shape the inquiry should take. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
The chairwoman of the White Earth Nation in Minnesota has resigned. According to a press release, the tribal council accepted Irma Visner's immediate resignation Wednesday. Visner was censured in December by the Minnesota Chippewa tribe, the governing body of White Earth, after being accused of violating orders to end her work on constitutional reform. On Friday, the council was scheduled to vote on whether or not to remove her from office. Visner was elected chairwoman in 2004. Many Navajo veterans have limited access to federal and state health benefits, especially those who live in remote areas. A new bill under consideration by the Navajo Nation Council is designed to make the Navajo Veterans Administration more responsive to veterans' needs. Arizona Public Radio's Ryan Heinches reports.
The tribe's VA is staffed by fewer than 30 people, and many veterans complain about poor medical care. Estimates are unclear, but there could be anywhere from 10,000 to nearly 40,000 Navajo veterans, and that could mean as much as 12% of the tribe's total population are veterans. The proposed Veterans Act would take the VA from the tribe's Human Resources Department and put it under the office of the president. James Sita Peshlikai is the Navajo Nation's veterans liaison. She says the bill would create an advisory council made up of veterans that would involve them directly in the tribe's policymaking.
That would enable the Department of Veteran Affairs to have greater stature within the Navajo Nation government. It provides the opportunity for veterans to become more involved in the administration that would seek to provide them services.
Peshlikai says the bill doesn't include additional funding for the VA, but if passed, President Russell Begay would contribute carryover funds to the agency. Peshlikai also says state money may be available. The Veterans Act will be considered by Navajo Council committees this week. For National Native News, I'm Ryan Heinches in Flagstaff.
Meanwhile, flags on the Navajo Nation are at half-staff in honor of Alfred Peaches. The Navajo code talker passed away in Arizona on January 16th. Peaches attained the rank of corporal during his time in the Marine Corps. He served from 1943 to 1946 and was a combat veteran of a handful of battles during World War II, including at Iwo Jima and the occupation of China. Peaches also served in the Korean War, where he was honorably discharged. The 90-year-old was born in Shonto, Arizona. Services will be held this weekend. Peaches' death comes about a week apart from fellow Navajo code talker Ernest Yazzie. Yazzie was 92 at the time of his death. He was born in Noscitie, New Mexico, and laid to rest in Salt Lake City, Utah. Navajo leaders say the men's passing is a reminder for Navajo people to honor the legacy of the code talkers and the Navajo language. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation is accepting artwork and reservations for the Alaska Native Art Auction February 18, 2016 in Anchorage, Alaska. Over 400 business leaders and executives attend this annual event. Proceeds benefit Kiwanis News Program. Learn more at knba.org. The Albuquerque Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes the Gathering of Nations to the Wise Pies Arena, a.k.a. The Pit, April 29th and 30th. Information on services and the Gathering of Nations at ahcnm.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Welcome to Juneau Afternoon, KTOO's very own, very local program. I'm Joan Partis, your host. Jeff Brown is at the board. He is the producer and engineer of the show. And the weather, I'm looking until next Thursday, and it is saying rain all the way through. It's 100% precipitation at the airport, downtown Juneau and Mendenhall Valley. It's not raining very hard, though, I must say, on the way in. 35 at the airport, 37 downtown Juneau, 33 in the Mendenhall Valley. And I think most of us are saying we've got to drop that temperature and get some snow. But that's the weather. Let's get on to our program. We're going to start with the arts. We've got Troy Quinn here. He is the conductor of the Juneau Symphony. He's here for the next 18 days. He resides in Los Angeles. He's up for his second concert, his first year as our conductor. And welcome to the show again, Troy.
Thanks, Joan. Pleasure to be here again with you.
We're glad to have you. So tomorrow night, you are doing a talk at Egan, and it's
correct,
part of the Sound in Motion
series. Yeah.
And you're going to be talking about the art of conducting, and that's at 7 p.m. at the Egan Lecture Hall at the UAS
correct
campus.
Correct.
So I have some questions to you about the art of conducting. I don't want
I thought you
to
might.
Give away your talk. Sure. So how does one even become a conductor?
Well, I think, Joan, that's the number one question I get asked, especially when I'm, you know, studying my scores on the plane, traveling. People are a little bit surprised as to what I do. How does one actually become a conductor? And, you know, for my sake, I've kind of fallen into it. Really, the function of a conductor is communication. People think that the conductor stands up there, waves their arms, and that's all it is. But ideally, you're communicating the composer's intentions, and you're collaborating with the musicians. So it's really a communication sort of a career, which is ironic because when I first, you know, was a kid, I wanted to be a meteorologist, which is communicating. But I never thought I'd be actual music director. And so, you know, it's really the role is about teaching and collaborating with your fellow musicians. And that's why I love it so much.
And what does one have to do to become a conductor?
A lot of theoretical studies and a lot of alone time, as I say. You know, there is that image of the composer, the conductor, alone in the room studying the score vigorously. And there is an aspect to that. So a lot of it is preparation before you actually get on the stage with the musicians. I mean, the majority of the study time happens well before even a rehearsal. So, of course, you know, the basic technique is learnable. But there are many sort of undefined things that go beyond studying conducting and having the discipline to actually really know the score.
And so I have a question. So as a conductor, I would assume that you would put your own interpretation on the music. Is that like taboo? Like,
yeah, well, there are kind of two schools of thought on that, Joan. Really, ideally, you know, you take a piece of music and you watch three different people conduct that piece of music. It's always going to be different. If you get up there and actually conduct the orchestra, it'll be a different sound from me getting
I
up.
I would certainly imagine that would be the case.
My point is that every individual has their own voice, and that shows through the ensemble. And so there is an aspect to it of being true to the score and really kind of you know, trying to be true to the composer's intention. And so that's the focus on score study. It's, I think, inherent that there's going to be a little bit of your personality in that, but you try to stay as true to the score and the composer's intention as possible. Of course, a lot of these people are no longer with us, so it's up to us to interpret that, and that's where there's a gray area, and that's where there's some room for interpretation.
So let's talk about that, because I'm interested in that. And if we're getting too far into the talk tomorrow night,
no, not at
you
all.
Could redirect me at any point in time. You're a conductor. But when you talk about being true to the score, but you would listen to the same piece of music and conducted by three different people, what are the interpretations? Do you understand? Like, so there's
oh,
the music, there's the
sure.
blueprint that's
right.
there. But what were you referring to
well,
as far as...
Well, music is very vague. I mean, actually, when you get the piece of music and you have a score, sure, the notes are there. They never change, no matter how hard you look at them. And the tempo is there. But there are so many different nuances on how to play something. And so I'm just... Very basically, of course, the tempo. Some people take things faster or slower. If it's not particularly indicated at a marking, that's one very basic variation. And delving further into that, you know, I could play two notes very differently depending on the conductor and how they interpret that. It's not that clear based on the score. So nowadays, I think composers are being more, if I can say, demanding about, and it's a good thing, about how they want a certain passage to be played and leaving less room for interpretation and less margin of error, so to speak. So I think that's all good in a way, and it makes my job easier because then I'm doing what they want. And that's really, you know, he or she is king, as they say.
Right, the written word, the written
exactly.
note, so on and so forth, the written score. So are you a musician?
I am indeed.
Okay.
Most of my background, actually, Joan, is in vocal, but I have studied piano as well. And I get this question a lot, too. Well, you're a musician. Do you have to play all the instruments? How do you know all of the instruments of the orchestra, you know? And luckily for me, the orchestra plays them better than I ever could. I don't have to play all of the instruments. But I definitely need to know their function and what they can and can't do. So when I'm talking to a musician, we're on the same sort of page. But I myself as a musician have been on the other side of it, watching conductors, singing for conductors, playing for conductors. And so that's always a real learning experience for me to know what works and what doesn't work, what I'm going to do and what I can do differently. So it's always, you know, a learning process. Like Bernstein says, his goal as a conductor was to teach and live the music. And that's kind of what we're trying to do here in Juneau.
That sounds great. If
yeah.
you're just joining us, we're chatting with Troy Quinn. He's here for the next two, almost 3 weeks. There's a concert next weekend. Tomorrow night out at UAS, he is going to give a talk, The Art of Conducting, part of the Sound in Motion series at UAS, starts at 7 o'clock. So before I let you go, I have one more question.
Of course.
So what was the wake-up call that you were like, you know what, I actually think I want to be a conductor?
Well, you know, I had a professor in college that pulled me aside and grabbed me and had me conduct just cold a piece of music. I had no idea what I was doing, and I wasn't even trained well at that point. But that kind of gave me a taste of it, and I got bitten by that bug. And ever since then, I've been, you know, even as a little kid, I'd watch conductors, you know, recorded a piece of music on my cassette tape. I'm actually old enough to remember what a cassette was. And then I'd go listen to it in my room, and you know, I had no idea about gesture or how a conductor would do it, but it was sort of innate. And I just needed training and somebody to pull that out of me. So I had a wonderful experience in my college days of doing that. And the rest is history. And here I am with you in Juneau.
That sounds great. And does a conductor have to go to a conservatory?
Yes. I mean, ideally, you know, there have been many conductors throughout history. William Walton is one who was self-taught. But most people, Bernstein went to Harvard and what have you. So all conductors are trained as a musician. And I may add, I think that's why conducting comes later in life for people. I'm actually rather young for a conductor because most conductors master their instrument or their craft of music, whatever they may play or sing, before becoming a conductor. So it's kind of this all-encompassing role that they really need to master their own instrument before coming to lead an ensemble. It can be quite daunting, but the most exhilarating thing I've ever done.
That sounds great. And when you speak of the ensemble, how many musicians are in our little burg of Juneau?
We have a robust orchestra of 60 musicians here in Juneau, and they're just wonderful to work with, and we have our concert coming up next Saturday and Sunday at Thunder Mountain High School. We're doing a Brahms symphony and wonderful, glorious masterworks. I think it's going to be a real thrill for the community. Looking forward to it.
That sounds great. And so tomorrow night, Art of Conducting at UAS, next week at Thunder Mountain, the actual concert. And if they want more information, I am sure there is a Juno Symphony website.
JunoSymphony.org. You can find out more about that. And tomorrow the lecture, I'll also be incorporating a little bit of the pop and commercial world that I sort of toe the line and bringing that into conducting and how that differs from classical music and how it's really all the same.
Is it becoming more of a blend?
It is. I mean, quality music is quality music.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Well, thank you so much for joining us again. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Jen.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 21st of January, 2016. It's the birthday of the English novelist Eva Ibbotson, born in Vienna in 1925, author of romance novels, including A Countess Below Stairs, Magic Flutes. Eva Ibbotson, who said, "I am trying hard to break down the barrier between romantic novels and serious novels, which are respectfully reviewed. My aim is to produce books that are light, humorous, even a little erudite, but secure in their happy endings. One could call it an attempt to write in words a good Viennese waltz." It was on this date, 1952, William Shawn took up the reins of the New Yorker magazine, taking over as editor from his predecessor, the founder, Harold Ross. The critic John Leonard once wrote, "William Shawn changed the New Yorker from a smarty-pants parish tipsheet into a journal that altered our experience instead of just posturing in front of it." It was on this day in 1793 in Paris that King Louis XVI was beheaded, a victim of the French Revolution. Unemployment in Paris was around 50%. The crops were failing, food prices were high. The king himself was crippled by depression, unable to make important decisions. And so he'd been arrested for treason, was indicted, tried, and convicted. And on this day in 1793, he arose early, about 5 o'clock in the morning. He got dressed. An Irish priest, Father Edgeworth, heard his last confession and administered the mass, and he rode off to his execution in a green carriage, preceded by drummers who were going to drown out any support he might hear from crowds along the way. But the crowds along the way only shouted epithets at him. He arrived at the guillotine. His hands were bound by a handkerchief, and he was beheaded. Here's a poem for today, a poem by Catherine Abbey Hodges, entitled January Song. The holidays are over. Now we're here, amidst the candle stubs and bits of ribbon. Perhaps this stillness is a new career. The kids had risen early, packed their gear, made their farewells, and then away they'd driven. The holidays are over. We're still here. After waving from the porch as from a pier at little crafts on course for the horizon, perhaps this stillness is a new career. Time's origami has its way with fear, with loss, bright things gone dark, and plans gone riven. The holidays are over. We're left here, our failures folded into something dear and strange and new for which we haven't striven. This stillness may become a new career. Old age is coming, but it's not yet near. These early after hours are their own heaven. A certain party's over. Now we're here. Today this stillness is a new career. January Song by Catherine Abbey Hodges from her collection Instead of Sadness, published by Gunpowder Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can subscribe to the Poetry Magazine podcast and the Poetry Off the Shelf podcast in the iTunes Store or listen at poetryfoundation.org. And by Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
The first barn dance of the new year is this Saturday night, January 23rd, and Odette Edgar will teach and call conference square dances to live, rousing old-time music by Rumblefish. The fun starts at 7:30 at St. Anne's Parish Hall downtown on 5th Street. As always, you don't need any experience or partner, student and senior discounts, and free for AmeriCorps and JVs. Sponsored by Juno Folk Dancers with help from KTOO. Barn Dance, Saturday night.
Welcome back to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. It is 21 minutes past the hour. It is January 21st. Jeff Brown is the engineer and producer of the show. He is at the board. I'm Joan Partis, your talking head on Thursdays. And our next guests are Lorraine Jones and George Brown. They're here to talk about the Luna Fest, and they are representing the Juno Pro-Choice Coalition. Welcome.
Thank you.
And George.
Thank you.
So the Luna Fest has been coming to Juno for 9 years now.
9 years. This is our ninth year. Film Festival itself has actually been going on for 15 years as of now, but we just learned about it 9 years ago and brought it to Juno, and it's our celebration of the Roe v. Wade decision, and we used to stand in the cold and rain and snow and stuff in March, and we gave up on that and decided to do a film festival instead.
That sounds great. So this film fest, I am assuming, is created by women, for women, for everyone.
Yes.
But the creators are women.
Yes.
And it is
for, by, and about women.
There we
all
go.
The films are. Yes.
Excellent. And it is funded by the Lunar Bar people, I
That's
would assume.
That's right. Yep.
And so you've screened this year's selections.
We have.
So you want to give us a little?
Every year we go, oh, these are great, and this is greater yet. You know, every time.
They
keep getting better. I have a personal favorite, which is some parents raising a transgender child. There's other ones about a boxer in Cuba, where women boxing in Cuba is illegal. And another woman who loses her car in the parking lot and has kind of a meltdown. And a woman with breast cancer who is deaf, who is having trouble finding a support community. And then there's a cartoon about an Iranian woman lifeguard and a competition that's going on. All very interesting, diverse, international. I love the films.
It sounds great.
Yeah.
It sounds great. So it's at Centennial Hall.
It is.
And that's the date?
Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, the 22nd. Starting at 6 o'clock, we'll open the doors for the silent auction.
Ooh.
At 6:30, we will have a short program. We have a representative from the Teen Council coming, which is sponsored by Planned Parenthood. And I don't know her name. I don't know which one they decided to send. But she's going to talk a little bit about the Teen Council.
Mm-hmm.
The ensemble called the Pitch Hitters from the Juno Pride Chorus is going to sing a couple of three songs, and then we'll get into the films.
Oh, wow, that sounds great. And how much is it?
It's $12 if you buy the tickets ahead of time, which you can get them from any board member if you know one of us, our Hearthside Books, and online through our website and the LunaFest website.
And your website being the Juno Pro-Choice Coalition, that you
yes.
could just search
yes.
that out. Okay, great. So that's tomorrow night at 6
anyway,
o'clock.
At the door, they're $15 if I didn't say that.
Okay, that sounds
a little bit more at the door.
And where do the proceeds go?
Proceeds go to 15% goes back to the Lunabar people who have a breast cancer research fund that they have, and I've forgotten the numbers off the top of my head, but they've millions they've been raising to go to that. And the rest goes to the Juno Pro-Choice Coalition, and we help the teen council and do get involved with almost anything that has to do with women's reproductive health.
When you talk about teen council, can you tell me what that is?
Well, it's an organization of high school kids who are actually peer teachers about sex and reproduction.
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful program.
Yeah. So you want to learn more about it, you need to come listen.
There you go. And that starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow. And let's just do a little shopping online. So what kind of things do you have for the auction?
Oh, gosh, lots of things. At least 3 dinners that you can bid on. And there's a beautiful black jacket. There's several baskets of things. There's jewelry. There's a set of suitcases, a wide variety.
Wide variety. And is this your big fundraiser?
This is our big fundraiser every year.
Okay. Well, you've heard it here today from Lorraine Jones and George. Well, we haven't chatted with George Brown yet, but the Juno Pro-Choice Coalition's big night is tomorrow. It's the LunaFest Film Fest at Centennial Hall starting at 6. 85% of the proceeds stay in Juno, which is fantastic. And George, do you have something to add about the
films? Well, a couple of things. Who is the MC, Pat McClure?
Pat McClure is going to be our MC, yes.
Yeah, what triggered that was when you asked about the auction items. Sunday at the Unitarian Fellowship, she gave me a coloring book to use as a auction item. And it's a coloring book. It's not coloring. It's you take out the little clothing.
Oh, paper dolls.
Paper dolls, that's it, thank you. And you put different clothes on President and Mrs. Obama.
See what kind of fashions. I think they're pretty spiffy on their own, but it would be fun to dress them up.
And I say that because to me, and this is probably the fifth time I've been there, it's a celebration of human creativity. And it really stimulates you in any way you can imagine. And I like that because I've been very interested for many years about preventing violence, particularly in the home and in the community. And a big part of that is understanding how long women have been put down in society. And we are in a renaissance all over the world of getting out of that trap. And this clearly manifests that every year. I've also been very happy to note both with the LunaFest and the Cancer Connection meeting that the forum that they have once a year, more and more men are attending. Mm-hmm. And so I'm delighted that I see that happening. And I clearly want to see more men come because this is, it just makes you feel very, very good. And it's really important. You know, we are bombarded hourly with all the things wrong in the world. There are a lot of things right in the world, and we are moving through that time at a faster pace than I think many people realize.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
You too.
Yeah. And I think that's so lovely the way you talked about films, that they sound like they're thought-provoking films made for and by women, but it's a universal message.
It
sounds like really inspirational stuff.
Yes.
Well, thank you all. Oh, wait, Lorraine, has something else?
I have one more little thing. We do have door prizes, which will get passed out during the intermission, and we have the wonderful Roller Girls going to come help do that.
Oh, that'd be fun.
So it's a fun event, and I just encourage everybody to come.
Okay, I just have one more question. Sorry, Jeff's like, not yet. So it's age appropriate for everyone?
Yes. Just plan on talking about it afterwards because it will be thought provoking.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much for all you do for our community. Look forward to the event tomorrow night, 6 o'clock at Centennial Hall. And we'll see you soon, I hope.
Okay.
All right. We're
going to
take a
thank
short break.
You.
We'll be right back.
You're welcome.
Women make music. Women make love. Women make babies. Women make visions of. Women make peaceful world. Women make dreams. Women make music, 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 music. When I hear music, music sets my heart on fire. Magic soars upon the wind, it fills me with desire. When I hear music, music makes it all worthwhile. Sorrow bursts into a song and I remember. Women make progress, women make change. Women make trouble, women make men rearrange. Women make dancing, women make do. Women make music, 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 music. When I hear music, music sets my heart on fire. The magic soars upon the wind, it fills me with desire. When I hear music, music makes it all worthwhile. Sorrow bursts into a song and I remember that women's arms hold up half the sky. The women's voices sing out half the song. That if this world is ever going to ring with hope, we must make a right to more than half the wrong. Women make clothing, women make steel. Women make nations, women make visions real. Women make healing, women make time. Women make music, 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 music. When I hear music, music sets my heart on fire. The magic soars upon the wind, it fills me with desire. When I hear music, music makes it all worthwhile. Sorrow bursts into a song and I remember.
The School of Management at the University of Alaska Southeast offers degrees that work. Online degree programs and courses in business, human resources, management, MIS, and accounting. Explore your options online at uas.alaska.edu. This message sponsored by University of Alaska Southeast School of Management.
Hello, you are listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. It is 28 minutes to the hour on January 21st in the borough of Juneau, Alaska. And, you know, the Luna people who were just here, the Juneau Pro-Choice and Coalition people who were talking about the Luna Fest on the way out, I said, oh, do you have Luna bars at the Luna Fest? And they do. They have Luna bars at the Luna Fest. But those you could get anywhere. I think these films you can't. So you might want to go check it out tomorrow at 6 o'clock at Centennial Hall. So our next guest is Nora Laughlin. She's here to spotlight the AARP Tax Assistance Program. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Joan.
So what is the AARP Tax Assistance Program?
Oh, you probably know that AARP stands for American Association of Retired Persons. And the AARP, along with IRS, sponsor the tax aid program, which is made up of volunteers, which voluntarily do free taxes for people. Our target audience is people that have low income, in particular seniors. We will do anybody's taxes, however, we often do first-time tax preparers, as long as it's not complex.
We well, that's interesting.
We have limits on the scope that we can handle.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you, like, such a basic question.
Yes, good.
So you say you do tax assistance preparation for seniors. What is a senior? What is the magic number for a senior?
Well, that's a good question. Because there is no age requirement on this. As I said, we often do the young first-time filers.
So it's a good question. Somebody Google it and call the studio, okay? Because I'm assuming it's 65, but don't count on me.
Well, that's one definition, but I think there's another that's 55. And in the state of Alaska, you get a free fishing license when, is it 55?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know. We're going to come back.
60.
We're not going to talk about things we don't know. Let's talk about the things we do know, because neither one of us know. And we admit it. But Nora does know about the AARP Tax Assistance Program. So it's open for a wide variety of people. And what is it, and how can people, you know, find it, you know, give you a jingle to see if they
Thanks, Joan. We will be open. Our sites will be open. We have three different sites, one at Greening Park in the Rec Hall, and that'll be on Tuesday evenings. We will be doing taxes at the Senior Center downtown Monday mornings, and you can call Carol, the manager there, if you'd like to make a reservation, an appointment. You don't have to have an appointment at any of our sites. The only site that does, however, take appointments is the Senior Center, where you can call Carol. The Saturday site is the New Valley Library in the large open glass space at the entrance, and we'll be open on Saturdays at that site. We will have up to four people preparing taxes for people. We do it right in front of you, and you will get reviewed. Everybody gets reviewed, so there'll be two sets of eyes on everybody's taxes.
So I have lots of questions.
Oh, good.
So that sounds great. Three different locations, mm-hmm. ongoing services, bunch of qualified people helping you. That all sounds terrific. It's open to who? So you said it's open. It's the AARP, but it's open for first-time tax people?
Yes. It's essentially the simpler tax forms. We do not do anybody with farm income, rental property. We don't do businesses with over $10,000 of loss or businesses that have inventory or depreciation. We have limits on what we can do. We are all of the tax preparers and reviewers are advanced certified by the IRS, and we are capable, but we do have these limits, and it's imposed from the ARP IRS agreement.
I understand.
Is where the limits
but
come
so
in.
It's more than seniors, and it's more than just first time
yes.
tax people.
Yes.
So if you need
Students,
tax assistance,
yep.
what's a number that people could call to see if they qualify?
My number is 321-0207, and call me with any questions.
Okay. That sounds like a great service.
We do Schedule C, Schedule A, Schedule B. We are pretty broad.
That's accounting.
Yeah,
that's tax
stuff. We ask that everybody bring with them their Social Security card and a picture ID, all their tax documents, and it's very helpful if you bring last year's documents as well. And tax aid has not been in Juneau since 2013. We are new coming back this year. So we ask that anybody who is glad to see us back and wants to come see us know that we will not have your previous year's taxes in the machine. So it's helpful if you bring last year's with you.
Wow, that is great. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So what if somebody is listening and they want to help in some way?
Oh, call me, please.
Okay, and that number one more time?
321-0207, and I'm beginning training for a few people on Monday
out
at the Valley Library. And if you have your own laptop and want to show up, 10:30 at the new library.
All right,
on
so
Monday.
That's for training to be a volunteer to help out.
Yeah, and one of the positions we need is also screeners at the entry to ensure people have the right documents and information and that they have everything before they get passed to a preparer.
Okay, so I'm just going to do a recap, see if I pass my own self-imposed test. So there's three locations, and they're at the Valley Library on what days?
Valley Library is Saturday, beginning, I believe we set it up for 10:30 in the morning.
And that starts this Saturday?
No, it's the first Saturday in February.
And it's only that one day?
It's every Saturday until
starting
taxes are done.
The first Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Valley Library, first Saturday, starting in February, first Saturday of February, going on till tax day.
Taxes are
okay,
done.
Okay, great. That's fabulous at 10:30. And the other location was Greening Park.
Greening Park is Tuesday evening
mm-hmm.
until 6:30 or 7. Don't have the time right in front
of
me.
And that starts the first week in February, too?
That starts the first Tuesday in February, which is the second.
Okay.
Our first preparation, our first sit-down will be the 1st of February. It's a Monday, and that will be Monday morning at the Senior Center in downtown Juneau. And you can call Carol, and I'm sorry I can't pronounce your last name. Carol, is it Cannoli? And I'm sure I don't have that number in front of me, but you're going to look up the Senior Center down there.
That sounds great. And then if people aren't retaining this, where can they, look and, just a refresher of the dates and times? Do you have a web presence?
Yeah, there was we will be on site. I'm going to leave a flyer here at K2.
Great.
And the ARP site online should have all the tax aid locations in the United States. We were not, Juneau was not on there last time I looked, because we haven't been here for a few years. But I'm told they'll be on there any moment, any time. Right. And you can also go to the IRS website and look under free taxes.
That sounds great. Well, what a wonderful service.
And
if we can't help somebody,
we can give them recommendations. There's other tax sites.
That sounds great. All right, you heard it here. AARP is back in town doing tax assistance. It's free. There are definitely qualifiers of how you can be eligible for this service, but you could call Nora at what's that number again?
321-0207.
Okay, great. Thank you so much
for doing
this and coming by today.
Thanks.
We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back with Nancy DeCherney and Arts Up.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's 1 for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man.
Chilly day, midwinter, you notice a large nest made of sticks high in a leafless cottonwood. Atop the nest sits a large, dark shape, its broad head sporting two ear-like tufts, suggesting a cat's ears. A female great-horned owl is incubating two eggs. A light snow falls on her back as her mate roosts unseen in a nearby conifer. Since December, this pair has been hooting back and forth regularly at night. Why risk the year's most severe weather by nesting now? Probably because great-horned owlets, which hatch after a month of incubation, must remain near their parents a long time compared to many other birds, right through summer and into early fall. During this time, young owls learn the skills they need to hunt on their own before the rigors of the next winter set in. This adaptive strategy has proven very successful. Great-horned owls are the supreme predatory night birds from the northernmost forests of Canada to Tierra del Fuego. We have a photo of that owl covered in snow on our Facebook page. Have a look. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Support comes from Southeast Living Magazine, Southeast Alaska's real estate, home, and lifestyle magazine, working to reach potential home buyers and featuring articles on the unique lifestyle of Southeast, available online at seakliving.com.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon. It is 15 minutes to the hour. It is January 21st in Alaska, and currently it is 35 at the airport, 37 downtown, and a bracing 33, come on, drop a couple of degrees in the Mendenhall Valley. Nancy Cherney is here to talk about Arts Up. Yes, she swam across the street from the beautiful Juno Arts and Humanities Council building.
Yes.
And what is going on in Juno?
Let me just say that now the fun begins.
Ooh, let's go. Buckle up. Here we go.
Really, exactly. There's stuff going on just all the time. So Perseverance's play, Our Voices Must Be Heard, is running. It will run till February 7th, I believe.
Correct.
Do not miss this.
I'm going tomorrow.
Saturday. There's so many things going on. Squeeze in the time to go see this. I saw this on Saturday. It's a wonderful play. The subject makes you feel like a little, like maybe you don't want to see this play, but you do want to see this play. Really well done, great sets, excellent storytelling, and a really positive way of dealing with unpleasant tasks. I mean, yeah.
You
need to go see this play. It was well done and well written. And
we chatted with the playwright last week. She's fabulous.
And there's more opportunities to visit with her, too. But, you know, sometimes anger is a good thing. So go see this thing. Anyway, okay, let's keep going. That you could go see that tonight is why I bring that up. There's the Abby Okie karaoke and open mic and all that sort of stuff and tango dancing and things like that. Oh, Surface Processes. There's a presentation by ceramic artist Jeremy Kane up at the City Museum this evening at 7 p.m. On Friday, there's live. I think that's not happening. There's the Luna Fest.
Yes, we just chatted with them.
Okay, very good.
6 p.m. at Centennial Hall.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. There, you can be learning to skate. You can be learning how to do artwork and all that sort of stuff. On Saturday, you know, I'm feeling like some of this stuff should have been taken off of here. Bert. Coffee and Collections, the sesquicentennial of Seward's Folly. They're going to be talking about the Seward statue up at the City Museum.
The ses...
I think it's 150.
Okay, thank you. New one. Okay.
Pronounce that several times quickly.
Or once.
Yeah.
For me.
Coffee and Collections is a nice series that they do up at the City Museum on Saturdays at 10:30. It's free. Heritage brought coffee. Somebody does nice baked goods. And you learn some stuff. And, I think Wayne Jensen will be making this presentation.
Cool.
It's game day out at the library, the Mendenhall Valley Library, at 11 o'clock. From 11 till 5. Friends of the Slam are doing a movie series, and they have great museums of the world. This particular film is about the Hermitage, and they'll be doing them at the Gold Town. I don't know how many of them there are. I forgot to check that. But this one is on Saturday at noon.
I was just thinking about the Slam when you were talking about the City Museum. That sounds like a great ongoing series at 10:30 on Saturday. So when is there a date set for?
I think there is some soft opening dates in May and a hard one in June.
Excellent.
Yeah, so we got to get going on that, absolutely. The Democratic Auction is on Saturday at 6 p.m. at Rockwell upstairs.
Oh,
there's a donation at the door. There is a barn dance at St. Anne's Parish Hall at 7:30. Odette Edgar will be doing the calling, music by Rumblefish. It's always fun. They have a sort of sliding scale for admission there. 9 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. at the Nickelodeon, the Queer Film Festival starts. Do I Sound Gay? So I think that's going to be showing a couple of times. I don't quite have all the right dates and times for it, but be looking for that. On Sunday, we have lots of things going on. At 4:30, there's a Swan Lake film, but you can see this another day because you want to come to Capitol Steps.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about Capitol Steps.
Yeah, they're coming in. They're going to be here at perform at 7 p.m. at Centennial Hall.
And that's a national tour.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and national funniness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that probably there's been some stuff that just happened in the news that's going to be really ripe for some real fun. So
I wonder what you're talking about.
I don't know what that could that possibly be. But anyway, let's kick off this legislative session in high spirits.
Yes, in good humor.
In good humor. They take on all sides.
So what's the story with tickets? How do you get tickets?
You can get tickets by going to Hearthside Books, coming to the Jack, going online, any of those things. So, but don't miss out. There will be a bar there, and we're just going to have some old-fashioned belly laughs.
Good.
I think. Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. You could also be seeing Macbeth at Nickelodeon, and you could also be, as I mentioned, maybe seeing the Swan Lake film at 4:30, international folk dancing, but you really want to come to Capitol Steps on Sunday. So, okay, on Monday, there's the Tlingit Language Learners, there's the Skiers Friday at the Hangar, the movies, which you found out about, right? You want to talk about that?
I was very excited because Eagle Crest opens on Tuesday, so Monday is Friday night.
And they need something to do.
Exactly.
So there you go. We got Roller Girls practicing over at the Jack, and that's your second opportunity at 7 p.m. to see the Swan Lake film, which is a series that Juno Dance Theater is bringing in. They're doing it over at the Gold Town Nickelodeon.
And is it the Swan Lake, the somewhat recently released Swan Lake?
You don't remember? I know that I should know this because I
could check it out. You could check it out at Gold Town's.
And you can check it out at the Juno Dance Theater website, and you can check it out on our website, the
Excellent.
Arts Council website. So, let's see. Speaking of these things, at 5 p.m. on Tuesday, a forum at 360. Now, do you do these forums regularly, or is this just a thing? Sometimes. Okay, so we have a discussion with Vera Starbird and David Holthouse about how sexual assault survivors turn anger into art, which is a discussion about the play,
Ooh.
I would imagine. So I think it's at 5 p.m. on Tuesday, goes till 6:30 here at K2's 360 North. Worth visiting with her on these topics.
Oh, I definitely, yeah. I could not agree more. She is extraordinary.
Yeah. Planetarium, Marie Drake Planetarium has a little thing happening at 6:30 on Tuesday. 100 Years of General Relativity.
It sounds a little.
I know.
Wow.
And a discussion of basically how beautiful the art and math is that goes into relativity. So that's it. If you've never been to the Marie Drake Planetarium, they also always, because it's so cloudy here and you never know what the stars are doing, they do a thing about what the stars are doing right then. So,
if you were in the desert, you might see.
If you could see the sky, this is what you would see. And also on Tuesday at 7 p.m., you have another opportunity to see the great museums of the world, the Hermitage, again over at Gold Town Nickelodeon.
That sounds great.
And there's swing, West Coast Swing Dancing over at Suite 907, and that's free. On Wednesday, we have the Alaska Design Forum is bringing in an architectural photographer. His name, I think, is pronounced Iwan Ban, and I looked him up on the website. His stuff is amazing. They bring in some of the more interesting speakers. I think sometimes people don't recognize what treasures they're bringing here.
And where is that event?
That is also at the Gold Town Nickelodeon. It is $15 or $5, I think, if you're a student. I'm not sure. Perseverance is having their Alaska Appreciation performance on Wednesday and over at the theater. And there's another performance of the Queer Film Festival at 7:30, Do I Sound Gay? Quite a few things going on, and it's just the tip of the iceberg, because once we get through this week, next week gets even crazier, and then it just goes nuts after that.
Okay, so let's just hear a little couple of sound bites. So next week we've got the symphony.
Got the symphony. There's the Governor's Awards for the Arts.
The Governor's Awards for the Arts.
Yeah, there are a few things like that.
You know, I think someone I know might be getting
That
would be Nancy.
I was completely startled and surprised to be getting one of those. Well, thank
you. Well-deserved
and I will, and I hope people will come. There will be performances, and Vicky Sobolev and All Nations dancers, and Steve Hendrickson from Juno. So there's a lot of Juno people that will be there, and it's a nice opportunity to get to visit with other artists and whatnot from around the state. So I hope people will try to come. That's on Thursday night of next week. And then there's the symphony, as you say. And it just, wow.
And then Wearable Arts. They're online, right?
Let's see. Saturday, we have 6 non-sequential tickets left Saturday. Mm-hmm. Sunday, we still have plenty of tickets, and those tickets are online, or you can come. It's probably good to come down and look at the map and sort of get a good sense of where you want it, because the map that's online is a little not totally representative of how it really looks.
How many artists do you have?
We have 30, I think. Mm-hmm. The rehearsals are beginning next Monday, and it all just builds up. And then, so we have this Motown thing happening, mm-hmm. where we're going to have people compete to be the Motown King or Queen of Juno. We have Sarah Radke Brown, who you thought was an opera singer, but secretly she's a Motown singer. Shona Strasser-Osterhout is going to compete. Enrique Bravo, Mike Gamble, and there may be one or two other people.
When is this?
This is February 19th. So right after Wearable Art, on the 15th, we start our gospel workshops.
Right.
You can get your tickets now for that. And then those gospel guys do this Motown thing as a fundraiser for the Willoughby Arts Complex. And that's
so
on
like
Friday.
A Motown throwdown?
Yeah, kind of. They do a really wonderful show. There'll be backup singers and dancing and who knows what all. But we're going to compete to see who's going to turn out to be the Motown King or Queen.
Oh my.
And then that's followed by the gospel concerts on Sunday right after that. So there's a lot to be going on, and a lot for you to get involved in. Like, if you like to sing, I would suggest the gospel thing would be a thing. So,
you know, I saw the concert last year, and I was thinking, oh, maybe I should join that chorus.
Yeah.
Anyone who knows me is probably saying, no, you really don't have to do that. But maybe I will, just
you know,
in case.
You do not have previous experience necessary, and it's call and response, so I think you could do it.
Is there an age limit?
They prefer to have kids who are at least in high school and older, but everybody that sings in it comes away very well rewarded and happy.
That's great. Well, Nancy, as always, thank you for coming chat with us about Arts Up and all you do, and congratulations on your Governor's Award. All righty, we're going to wrap up the show here. It is 3:57. It is actually 3 minutes to the hour, and the forecast has not really changed that much. We're still looking at rain. Temperature steady, 33 to 37. East wind 10 miles per hour. Southeast 10 to 20 miles per hour. Late tomorrow, rain. Tomorrow night, rain likely. Snow level 1,300 feet. Saturday, rain. Highs around 36. And Saturday night, rain. Lows around 34. Thank you for sharing part of your day with Juno Afternoon and the KTOO staff. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis, your talking head for Thursday. Andy Klein hosts the show on Friday, and he'll be talking with Wayne Jensen about his Friday fireside lecture at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center about the history of Alaska's capital. He'll be talking to Julie Hench, who talks about the details of that Swan Lake screening on Sunday. And we'll meet the new teacher at the Canvas, and then we'll learn about donor breast milk and sleep boxes, all that and more, along with Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, and the usual Juno Afternoon goodies. Thank you for sharing your day with us. Have a great one.
Mondays are back at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center. Now open Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. until 8 p.m., Saturdays 9 a.m. until 6 p.m., and Sundays noon until 6 p.m. Schedules are available